Hello and welcome to ATM World News. I'm Leah, and it's great to be with you, the audience around the world. Today, I am amazed at the guests we have. We have with us Larnell Harris. Yes, I'm so thrilled. Larnell is the only person in history to be a member of three distinct Hall of Fame organizations. He has been twice inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame, both as a solo and a group artist. He has had, get this, 19 number one radio singles. That's amazing. And of course, he's had several top 10 hits. His book has recently come out called Shape Notes, about people who influenced in his life and career, and he's currently working on his 50th anniversary tour. With all that, I'd like to say good morning, Larnell.
Well, good morning, Leah. I got up this morning and started to, I'm actually coming to you from my amateur radio station. You may see a little, a few odds and ends in the background. I've been a ham radio operator for almost 40 years. And I got up this morning and called CQ. You do that with a little Morse code key, and you never know who is going to answer. It could be someone in Australia, it could be someone in UK, it could be someone down the street. This morning I called CQ, and what a pleasure to get with you. You answered this morning, so it's good to be with you, Leah.
Oh, that is awesome. You know, how cool is that? I mean, as a hobby, ham radio, I've been in radio since I was just a kid, and I have a soft spot in my heart for anything involved with radio. So that's cool. I like your equipment, and I'm digging the map on the wall there. I tell you, Larnell, there are so many songs that people relate to that you have produced that has lifted them up. And we were talking a little bit before this program, and Larnell mentioned, well, there's people that have lifted me up also to be where I'm at, which reminds me of his book that's come out, Shape Notes, where he talks about these influences. Would you share a little with our audience on that, Larnell?
Well, I'd be glad to. I'm from a little town called Danville, Kentucky. And I still have kinfolk back there. My wife and I, Mitzi, still live here in Kentucky and will probably be here. But every time since I left that little town to go to college and went to Western Kentucky University and was a voice major down there, ever since I left that little town, I keep going back. And as I said, I have some kinfolk there. And every time I leave there, I have another story. I have another story that I dragged the 80 miles back here to Louisville, Kentucky. And some friends, people that I work with, have been wanting me to write something, a book for a long time. And you know what? I just didn't think that I had done anything that was worthy of that. But I have to tell you, those people who spoke into my life, into my heart, that God put in my path over those early years, that's something to write about. Leah, I saw a picture in a magazine. It was a photo of a turtle on a fence post, and I looked at that and had a real good chuckle. I kept going in the magazine. A few weeks later, I went back to that photo, and this time I saw what I know the photographer wanted me to see, that turtle didn't get on that fence post by itself. Someone helped it to get up there. And I have to tell you, back at Bates School, where I went the first 11 years of my schooling, those teachers were not just teachers. They were grandmas and grandpas, and they knew the kids in the neighborhood. And did they ever speak into my life? For instance, when I was in the first grade, I'm not going to tell you, you have to read the book to find out all this stuff. But when I went to the first grade, I couldn't spell my name. And Miss Margaret Helm, I will never forget her. She was a first grade teacher. She wrote my name on a little piece of paper and gave it to me. And in fact, she spelled it wrong, L-I-O-N-E-L, but it didn't make any difference because I didn't know any better at that time. And I wrote that on everything that I had. I mean, on clothes, on all my books, on a paper. And when it was time for me to leave to go to the second grade, I didn't want to go. I had decided that I really didn't need any more education. I was going to be with Miss Margaret for the rest of my life. And she and my parents and the second grade teacher, Miss Dale, who I told a big tale on because I didn't want to go second grade. I figured that I had all the education that I was ever going to need with Miss Margaret. She and Miss Dale and my parents put and Mr. Summers, who was the principal, put together a little vignette. And this vignette consisted of a language that said that Miss Margaret still loved me, but I had to move on. Those people back in that day, and Miss Margaret, Miss Georgie, many others, spoke into our lives, and they would not allow us to settle. I couldn't settle for a sec. I couldn't settle for a first grade education with Miss Margaret or with any of those other grandmas and grandpas and teachers in school. We had to move on. They were saying to us kids who would listen, you know what? It's out there. You can be something. You can be someone. I was a boy soprano, so I didn't sing very much. But Miss Dale had me singing, and you'd get teased and all of that kind of stuff. But they were saying to all those teachers were saying to us, listen, you can have it. There's a life out there. You can be something. You can be an influence on this world. And I had there were if you read this book, Shape Notes, there are a number of people, including my parents, especially my mom, who spoke life into my heart and really are responsible in great part for the ministry that I have been involved in over 50 years.
I love hearing testimonies like that, and you got so personal, talking about your first grade teacher. And I think that a lot of people, when they get caught up in their daily routines, they don't remember the little things like that, the people who really did help them, and they just don't maybe recognize it even sometimes.
And Leah, there are two little words that I am so thankful this day, as I've gotten older and really understand what God was doing at that time in my little life. There are two words that I am so thankful that I was able have been able to say to many of those folks. Some have passed on, gone to be with the Lord, and those two words are thank you. Miss Georgia Dunahy, I did my first concert when I was 9 years old. Miss Georgia Dunahy, who taught piano lessons to every kid in town, whether they wanted them or not, and I didn't want them. My mother met Miss Georgie and sort of made me take them. But Miss Georgia played piano at our church and played organ for the choir, and she found out that I could carry a tune during one of those piano lessons. And she started taking me around to various little events there in Danville, Kentucky, teas and little church events and that kind of thing. And I would sing, and she would play the piano. And a lot of those songs that she taught me, the Lord's Prayer, How Great Thou Art, some of those old songs, I still do. And to tell you the truth, Miss Georgie sort of got on my last nerve. She went to my mother one time and she said, you should not let Larnell play any sports that are in the dust because the dust will hurt his voice. Now, what 9, 10-year-old kid wants to hear that? So she really got on my last nerve. And that's mentors sometimes do. Elmers sometimes do because they will not let up. They see something that many don't see in a particular life. But as I've gotten older, Aaliyah, I now hope that every town, every city, every parish, every involvement has a Miss Georgie, someone who doesn't want anything. They just have been sent by the Lord for a time to speak into the lives of the people that are in their sphere of influence. And so now I said that if I ever get an opportunity to do any recording or anything, as I got older, I didn't know any of this when I was a kid, but I said, I want to do some songs that honor Miss Georgie. And in the concerts, even to this day, I do a package of a medley of songs that Miss Georgie taught me as I stood there in the First Baptist Church, Danville, Kentucky, in a little Texas tie. I think there's a picture of it. The book is worth the book just to get just to see that, just to see that photo. And what an opportunity just to say to Miss Georgie, thank you so much for speaking into my life and into my little heart.
That's amazing. And your music has certainly spoken into the hearts of many who needed it, and it was so uplifting. You can bless people with your mouth, and you can curse people, and you've certainly been a blessing. And speaking of that, your music, what an extraordinary voice. When did it all come together for you that, I mean, this extraordinary gift that God gave you, when did you realize, like, wow, this is a gift that God gave me, and I've got to take it to the world.
Well, I think that I was thinking that when I got when I graduated from Western Kentucky University with a degree in voice. I was a voice major, and as you put it, I was ready to kind of hit the world, to let them hear this voice. And God had some other plans. There was a time when I had just a whole host of vocal issues. I had the formation of nodules on my voice. I had joined a group. We were traveling around the country. We were doing driver education safety programs for a big automotive concern, and we'd go into schools and high schools and do sort of a fun God and country kind of program. And then we had a program that we did in a local church in that same town at night, and it was called a group was called the Spurlows, and our program was called the Splendor of Sacred Songs. And through that program, we saw many a young person come to know Christ, as our follow-up was done through the Billy Graham organization. We couldn't give our testimonies in the daytime in the school setting, but we could at night. And so we would invite all of those kids to our concert at night and give our testimonies and of course do our concert. Well, I sung myself out. I really did. And I started going to doctors, and I went to doctors all over this country to tell you the truth about it. And when they would hear a recording or something that I'd recorded, they'd say, "Well, I'm not sure that you're going to sing like that. I'm not sure that that's going to happen again." I had the formation of nodules, and nodules are little coins. If you ever had a coin on your hand, that's what they are. And most of the time, they have to be surgically removed, and that can change everything. So I was depending on voice and of what I could do. And yet God had, as I said, another plan. For doing that year that I had to write notes, I mean, I couldn't sing. I could sing 2 or 3 hours, and then I'd be so hoarse that I'd have to stop. So they put me on a year's rest, and as I wrote those notes, I did something else. I started to take, I really bathed in scripture. I mean, I read the Bible from cover to cover, and as I read it, God revealed to me what was going on, that my trust was in the wrong thing. I was trusting in what I could do and vocal ability and all of that. But he was saying to me, "You know what? I need you to trust in me. We're not going to trust in what you can do. I mean, I gave you the talent. I know exactly what you can do. But there is a lesson I want you to learn here that is going to follow you the rest of your life." And it was to trust in the Lord and not in anything that I could do. What's the scripture say? Trust in him and not in anything that you personally understand, that you understand him and that he loves you and cares for you and wants more than anything else. And this was the lesson, to be the center of your life. And boy, was that a lesson. And it is a lesson that I have never, ever forgotten. And I can say with all certainty that God, if you will put yourself in the place where he can do his work in your heart and in your life. life, he can be trusted with it.
That's the ultimate message. God can be trusted. And I guess he obviously healed your vocal cords there.
Well, he did. And Leah, he didn't, you know, he didn't bring those circumstances. He, the scripture says that good and perfect gifts come from the Lord, but he certainly did use them. I think God uses everything to help us to continually grow in him. And I am so thankful for that.
Amen. I agree with everything you just said. That's a wonderful lesson, people, and take it to heart if you're discouraged. You know, rewind this and listen to the explanation of the scripture again. It will help you. Going on to other things, I know that you've ministered around the world, and you've ministered a very long time. And I know that you have multiple memories. I was wondering if you would share one with me. Share one with our audience of one of the maybe concerts where something happened, or just one of them. I know there's several, but...
Okay, there are. But I have to tell you, in 1991, the coup happened in the former Soviet Union at that time. And there was a friend of mine who had put together a tour of Russia, and we had probably 200 in our team of choir and, you know, wonderful singers, and his name was Jim Gruen, and Jim had a ministry that would go into other countries, and he may still be doing this. They would train ministers, people in that country, and who knew the language, who knew the customs, and trained them in ministry, and they would in turn go out and minister to their own people. Well, he was in Moscow with some of these folks, and he decided, started praying about doing a concert in the Kremlin, the Palace of Congress. And lo and behold, when we put together this tour in 1991, right in the middle of the coup, we all headed for the former Soviet Union. And the International Bible Society had given us a four. Get this. This is no exaggeration. Had given us 4 million Bibles, and we were gonna. Our task, along with other teams there in Russia, was to give those Bibles away. And if it stood upright, we stuck a Bible in its hand. And when we would give Bibles to the folks over there, they would take the Bible, many of them, and hold that Bible to their chest as though it had just become their most prized possession. And our concert, one of which we did some outside, but the main concert was in the Kremlin. And I stood and I watched the guards at the Kremlin help us carry Bibles into the Palace of Congress that we were going to give away. And when we would say, we'd make announcement that we were going to give the Bible away, the people, we would have to keep them from rushing the platform. You know, I've never forgotten that. I'm in my home. There's a shelf right above where I'm sitting. It probably has 15 Bibles on it. I would imagine that there are people who will, some of you who are viewing this, will have numerous Bibles on your shelf. And maybe some of them are collecting dust. I want you to open that Bible up. There's life in there. If you will read it and meditate on it. I saw people take that Bible. I saw kids take Bibles and tear them up. And that concerned us some. But what they were doing, they didn't think that everyone was going to get a Bible. And so we'd give them a Bible, they would tear that Bible up and pass the parts around because they wanted their friends, all of their friends, to read the scriptures, and then they would trade the parts. We are so fortunate to be able to worship freely. I remember singing in during the concert, singing a song that Gloria and Bill Gaither wrote called "Let Freedom Ring." We had T-shirts and made and with that with "Let Freedom Ring" in Russian across the chest, and people were so proud to wear their shirts. And what a time that was. I will never, ever forget that because it reminded me of how blessed we are here in America, that we can worship freely, that we can witness freely, we can share our faith, and what a blessing that is.
Amen. That was a brilliant moment in history. You know, everybody wants freedom. And to actually see a country when the gates open wide finally and freedom comes in. And I'm thankful that God used you as one of the carriers of his word. Loved hearing the stories on that. I did some missionary work in Haiti. And they're free to be a Christian, but they can't afford a Bible in Creole. So their poverty stops them from having the Word of God,
yeah.
You know. And so we should always keep our eyes on those in need because, you know, who else is going to give to them if we don't? We're to bear one another's burdens as though it were our very own. You've certainly done this in your ministry, Larnell. That was a wonderful testimony. Concerning some of your more recent music, would you say that your music has a constant theme since when you start, or has it evolved, matured, changed? Can you comment on your music?
Well, one of the things that, and I write about this in the Shape Notes, is, you know, it is not always an easy task to pick music to do a recording. One of the things, but it's a wonderful process. I mean, to have an idea and to search for just the right phrases and the right words and the right music and is a great process. My concern is past the beat and past the rhythmic motifs and past the melody, though we want that to be beautiful. Is it scripturally sound? Is this something that I can say? Is this something that the Bible supports? And so has the music changed? You know, I've done everything from stuff that sounds like jazz to show tunes to the great hymns. And my one concern is that it be sound from a scriptural point of view, and that when someone hears it, that it moves them from one place in their Christian walk to the next.
That's awesome. That's really awesome. People, if you want to get more information and more on his music and look at his CDs, you can go to Larnell Harris' website. Plus, you have a fan page on Facebook. And your banner is a live video of him singing. It's awesome.
And I have to tell you, you got to read about my mom. My mom was a prayer warrior, Pentecostal Holiness lady, prayed my dad into the church. It's a great story. It's in Shape Notes. I hope you'll get it. And you will fall in love with my mom. She was some kind of lady, Leah.
I can imagine. I mean, I really want to read about that. It's excellent. And people definitely get this book. There's a lot of inspiration to glean from the book. And in closing, Larnell, is there anything else you'd like to share?
Hey, you know what? It's just been a pleasure to speak with you, to speak with the audience. I will say this, that take the time, read the scriptures. Be in prayer, especially for this nation, and put yourself in the place where God can do his work in your heart and in your life. You will not be sorry. And then share it with everything that moves.
Amen. Couldn't agree with you more. Well, we have been blessed tremendously to have Larnell with us today. Thank you so much for taking your time to be with our audience.
Leah, thank you.
Until next time, I'm Leah reminding you that God loves you.